As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Nerd talk,
talking about Nerd Talk, yeah! Hey, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our sometimes weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor, who definitely never used Spotify before in his life ever. And he's been a managing editor at Odyssey, and now just a guy making jokes on Twitter. He does this for free. He's Brandon from the internet.
I'm, like, not really making very many jokes on Twitter anymore. I have, like, so many feelings about Twitter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I am tired of seeing Twitter drama, and I just want to express my thoughts there to an audience that sometimes engages me.
Yeah.
I have no desire to care at all about any of that stuff, because Twitter's awful.
Is this like the social media version of like the art, hate the artist, you know, when an artist does something really problematic?
Yeah.
Like Billie Eilish vapes.
Does she? Oh,
I don't know. Probably. She's a Gen Z, right? I feel like they all
You know
all
what
hate.
Happened was Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age.
Kicked the dude in the face.
Yeah, kicked that photographer in the face.
Yeah.
And then has just kind of like doubled down on being a dildo over the years.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if we're just being more sensitive or if he's a bad dude. And then like he got divorced from his wife,
yeah,
and that went real bad. But then
yeah,
also like I understand what it's like to be heartbroken and psychotic. And so
yeah,
it's like, it's just tough. Yeah, and so the music still rules,
well,
and I don't feel any differently.
It's kind of like, it's like, are you going to stop listening to his music? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Jackson did what he did, apparently, allegedly, and
yeah,
everybody still dances to Thriller every Halloween. So,
yeah.
You know, like, you know who's turned out to be a real dildo is John Cleese.
Really?
Who's like, yeah, like, one of my favorite... I mean, I like such a nerd for Monty Python stuff back in the day, and still love watching like Fawlty Towers with him and stuff like that. And he's like just turned into a real, I don't know if he's like a Brexit guy, but like everything about him screams like, oh, the right hates me and the left hates me, so I must be doing it right. It's like, or you're just a jerk.
What if both sides liked
you? Yeah.
Wouldn't that be weird?
Yeah, it'd be weird.
Yeah, well, anyway, neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain.
Not yet.
But if you are, let us know what we get wrong, and maybe even once in a while, what we get right. It seems like we don't get a lot right.
I am right about John Cleese kind of being a dildo. Like,
I am right about my opinion.
I was going to ask you, I read this thing a while ago, and maybe we talked about it already, but there's apparently, when you get older, like the empathy portion of your brain decreases. Either that, or I'm thinking that like people just turn into people just stop caring. So it's like maybe not something physiological happening, but maybe you're just like your capacity for caring about stuff. You're just like, I've lived for so many years. Like there's so many things I've had to care about. I'm just kind of done caring. And maybe that's the physiological aspect happening. What?
Wait, am I old?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm old. Because I'm already feeling this. And I mean, part of it's already like maybe just our access to information, right? Like we have so much more access now. But old people, it seems to be that it's always been the older people suck, or like they care, the empathy turns off, right? It starts to be like not in my backyard, or you know, send all the homeless to the other part of the state that I don't care about.
Yeah. I'm for that. Old people are. Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not sure. Like, sometimes people say like, oh, I can't wait till I get old and I can just say all the crazy that I want, and everybody's just like, ah, there's grandpa again. But I'm like, no, I want to like still care about people when I'm old. You got like the Patagonia guy, the guy that founded Patagonia. He's old and he's like, I'm going to donate all of my billions of dollars.
I hear he's problematic though too. I think that he's not. That's my understanding, is that even the good billionaires are bad, right?
Yeah, but he's like my grandkids, I'm going to give all the money to the planet, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's like a good old guy thing to do. He's like, except for the people.
You're like, ah, dang it, son of a bitch. Well, I got to take a moment here to give a shout out to our dear friend Siege. He had filled in for Brandon for a couple weeks and just did a lovely job being a weirdo from Florida and giving us good Florida takes on stuff. We didn't talk enough about alligators, I don't think, but he did a wonderful job, and we're forever grateful for his performances.
Yeah, I promise I'll listen to those. But Siege, I don't like, honestly, I've listened to the other shows that we've done with him, and this, like, he is a nerd making jokes on the internet infinitely time, like so many times better than I do. So I don't know, like, this guy coming well, for my job.
To be fair, he makes jokes, you know, as a comedian for a living.
Yeah,
also.
He's a professional.
So you should follow him at CEEJ, Siegeness on Twitter, because he makes lots of jokes on there, and it's a lot of fun.
He's like the Loch Ness, the long lost Siegeness monster
from the Everglades, which are apparently water.
but also plants.
I gotta give a real quick acknowledgement to something that we should talk about that I just didn't have time to prep for. We are, you made a really good message to me earlier. I don't even know what to call them when it's on Google or whatever. But you definitely said, are we going to talk about Cyber Sex Monday? And we are doing this. This is a recorded show this week. It is before time instead of live Tuesdays at 10. That's when the show airs or whatever. But it is Monday. It is Cyber Sex Monday.
We're in the land before time.
I read that comment, and there was like this weird part of me, like, I don't feel proud of you like some sort of elder person or whatever, but I felt proud to do a show with you, because all day on the radio I avoided making that joke and just needed to say it offline somewhere, so that way, or off air, so that way someone could hear it, because all I want to be is like, Cyber Monday used to mean something different in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And most people don't understand that it was like ASL, age, sex, location, and then you then talk about your wiener or whatever, you know? I didn't do a lot of cyber sexing, and we've covered it before on the show, that I'm just like a, I don't know, hollow person, or dead on the inside and outside or whatever it is, and like, I've literally only ever been sexed one thing, or two if you count the time that our buddy Bryce sent me a text that said, Greg, I'm so horny right now, just to try and make me feel better. But I've never been able to engage. I guess I'm just not sexy or sex material or something like that. I just feel very inept or something. And so Cyber Sex Monday is like, I couldn't even be cool doing cyber sex on the internet.
Yeah, it's it feels gross. And like, not to like shame anybody, or like, hey, if your kink is not looking at boobs but talking about them to each other, then like, hey, you do you. But like, not to get like too graphic, but like talking dirty, you know, like, I feel like if it comes naturally to you, if it feels natural to you to talk dirty when you're doing stuff, then great. But like, if somebody asked me to talk dirty, I'd be like, ooh yeah, oh nice, this is
damn that hole so hot.
oh gosh and like, it's, I just can't, it's not a natural it's not a natural
way,
thing for me.
That's all I'm saying. If I ever get to do the sex again, that is all I'm saying from now
that
on.
That hole so hot.
So hot.
But if somebody was like, if somebody asked me, so next time anybody listening to this is picturing me having sex, if you were picturing me saying some dirty raunchy things, you're wrong. I'm not.
Now, Siege, on the other hand, oh boy.
Oh gosh, he's that butthole.
So, anyway, I'd like to lead off with a story that I'm going to dedicate to Siege for his hard work. It's about tobacco, only worse. So, okay. China, we need to know what the hell you're up to. Scientists there have genetically modified a relative of the tobacco plant to produce cocaine in its leaves.
Siege?
Is there a bear problem there and their only solution is cocaine, cigarettes, and fistfights? Is that like what's on the cards for today? Also, when's the World Cup for that start? Because I'm really curious about that.
Cocaine. Oh, do you remember Cocaine Bear? It was like a wild bear in California.
No.
That got into like 38 pounds of cocaine or something.
Yes,
like
Tony
that.
Tony Montana Bear.
And had to be like, it was like went on a rampage because it was just so coked up, and it went on a rampage. It had to be like shot like 100 times in order to stop this rampage. It's like absolutely went out like Tony Montana, just like, say hello to my little friend. And then just, like had to be shot as many times as Tony Montana. If you haven't seen Scarface, it's been out for a very long time. You should see it. I did not just spoil it for you.
I mean, you might have spoiled it for somebody, but it's on them, I think.
It's on you at this point. It's like every rapper has a poster on it on their wall. If you've seen Cribs, you should have known that you should have gone and seen Scarface.
Fine. But if you know what Cribs is, also props, yeah. Because we're not talking ancient yeah. stuff again.
So what I'm saying is, like, did China just go like, oh, that was a viral trend in America, maybe we should recreate this for the bears here? What's the easiest way to do it? We don't have a Mexico, so we can't get cocaine. let's just make our own.
The quote that comes to mind is, your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could do that, they didn't stop to think if they should. Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, also from the 90s. So, it's for me, it's like, oh, they're trying to come up with a substance to give to their people to turn them into soldiers to fight the Americans or whatever.
Sure,
what can we feed them full of to be able to do that? I want to know, like, how long it's going to be until the drug users are like, I only like organic non-GMO cocaine in my cigarettes, so China could F off.
It's like, we have plants that already produce cocaine. Like, it's like, why are we making, maybe tobacco's, like, easier to grow or something? It's like,
isn't it notoriously hard to
that's
grow?
That's what I thought.
Corn is notoriously hard to grow, but I think tobacco is too.
I mean, everything is hard to grow. Like, look at this plant behind me right now. It is very much dying.
Do you know what kind of plant that is?
It's a cocaine plant.
It's cocaine bamboo.
Cocaine's easy to grow. I don't know why they had to add it to tobacco.
Talk about a cash crop. Hey.
It's every time you pull, it grows like a radish. And so every time you pull it out of the ground, it's just a little baggie of cocaine. Except also the hole where the stalk goes into looks like a butthole.
They say, hey, cool pole.
In case we're wondering what I'm getting tattooed on my body for this week's, for this show.
Well, big fan of how this is going so far.
it's just a little plant that is growing out of a sphincter.
That's going to be amazing. I want to know what other plants we should get working on where we combine drugs and that. This week's question of the week, what should we grow that we combine one drug with another? I've got some ideas. I want a corn that actually kills cholesterol, so like a Lipitor and corn combo. Is that? I think that's what Lipitor does. I'm not actually sure, but I've just been to Costco recently.
It sounds like you're just GMOing genetically modifying plants to counteract the side effects that they have. Like, what about
weed
that doesn't make you hungry? It just makes you feel full.
Or when you lick this frog's butt, it also gives you cocaine power. So I started to think about it. Could you like grow psilocybin mushrooms that also have the power of LSD? So you're like, or like ecstasy or something like that?
My hallucinations are having hallucinations.
Yeah. Or like, I like the idea of speed carrots. You're like, this amphetamine carrot cake is amazing. The calories work themselves off. Ah! Also, you want to fight, Grandma, you bitch?
It's just, oh no, you just put Cocaine Bear against Speed Bunny.
Let me put it this way. We're going away entertained. Okay?
Just Winnie the Pooh, just jacked. Fighting Bugs Bunny, who is doing his taxes, but really, really fast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of animals fighting, the robots trying to destroy, assist you, landscape is getting pretty crowded. Boston Dynamics is suing Ghost Robotics for ripping off designs to make their robot dog. And while stealing intellectual property isn't cool, I think all of us want to see this go to its natural conclusion, the coolest way possible.
Yeah.
Robot dog fight.
Absolutely.
For who gets to keep the patent, right?
Yeah.
And I'd like to highlight that dog fighting is in no way cool when it's actual organic animals. But when you're talking about two robots fighting, this is absolutely the natural conclusion of BattleBots. This is what we've been waiting for since we were underwhelmed as children.
I mean, this is how all lawsuits should be settled, is like you have to do the illegal thing to each other and whoever does it better wins the lawsuit.
Your parents catch you smoking, you're going to finish that whole carton, Bobby Hill.
Yeah. It's a robot. This makes me like excited for all of the potential animal fights. I mean, like, Of course, we've seen mecha fights in like Pacific Rim and all of these other, Gundam shows and things like that. Yeah. It's like, oh man, like while I know that dog fighting and like rooster fighting isn't cool because it's animal abuse and all that, and I love
animals. If it was robots!
But if it was robots, I'd be so down.
How about grandmas? Can we just like get the bipedal ones and they like but give one a bad hip or whatever?
This grandma smoked for 70 years. She smoked cocaine tobacco, to be clear.
Chinese grandmas of the future. Yeah. There's got to be some of that. Now, the other thing is, like, I'm sure this is where the future is going, is where we, like, the movie Robot Jocks from the late 80s, early 90s, shout outs to Sean Gervin, who will totally know that reference. Like, you're going to have, instead of having the actual wars, it's going to be poverty for everybody, and it's going to be like that, you know, kind of cyberpunk future. But you're going to have giant robots fighting out for the honor of the countries to gain territory, like in a weird robotic game of Risk. I think that's going to happen, but then we'll even more so value when human versus human stuff happens illegally on the side, when it's like, oh, they're going to play soccer and they're not using robots. Ooh, I'll bet on that, you know.
It's yeah, like soccer will, of course, like transform into exploding or like Rocket League, basically.
Yeah.
Or just something insane. Like we've talked about, I think we've talked about this before, is like performance enhancing drugs make players at sports better at the sports that they play, therefore increasing the amount of entertainment that the fans enjoy, right? So like realistically, while I get that the unless everybody's doing the performance enhancing drug,
but
I'm saying is like it ruins the, you know, quote unquote integrity of the game. It's like, well,
that's for stats, for nerds.
We're
though.
Making the game better by making like Sammy Sosa hit a billion home runs in a season.
Yeah, you want to like give then you want to add like a 3-point line.
Yeah.
You know, if he hits a home run, but it also hits a guy on Clark Street, like then it's like
it's more points, right?
Yeah.
Or more runs, I guess. I should get my baseball analogy right. Like in soccer, like imagine all these like robots are all of a sudden playing. It's like it's like the extreme best version of the sport because now every 69th kick, the ball explodes and whoever's touching it doesn't get a red card. They're just out of the game.
Now imagine MMA if the contestants didn't tap out. Like if you got one robot got another robot into an arm bar and instead of tapping out just tore the arm off of it and then turned around and started hitting like the robot that starts hitting Joe Rogan and you're like
robot Joe Rogan.
No, actual Joe Rogan. Well, that's how you get robot Joe Rogan.
Joe Robo Rogan. Joe Robogan?
Robin?
Robo Robogan.
He's a Robogan. He is now Australian also.
Hogan Robogan.
Anyway, I think it sounds amazing that these people are fighting over patents. Of course, Ghost Robotics is like, we didn't rip anything off. And Boston Dynamics is like, we have all this paper trail of you ripping us off. And it sounds so boring, right?
Yeah.
You want them to fight it out for whoever has the best robot, and then everyone else gets thrown into the lava pit. Speaking of which, I meant to make a comment about this when we kicked off saying that we were recording today. I didn't have enough time to do the work on, the Hawaiian
Mauna Loa.
Volcano.
Mauna Loa.
Mauna Loa is exploding right now. And as our person who just came back from Hawaii, we need your insight into what's going on there, please.
Well, as the Nerd Talk Plus Hawaiian correspondent.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
We've gone from Florida to Hawaii, I think the furthest distance you can go in the United States.
Probably,
for coverage.
Yeah. I was in Hawaii and now there's a volcano going off there. So pretty crazy, right? I didn't do it. My in-laws are there right now and I was texting them.
Do they like live there or something?
They have
like,
a house there, which is why we were there.
You could just go for 2 weeks for like without any repercussion.
Oh, dude! I mean, we went for 2 weeks. We didn't use, we didn't spend any money to get down there. I mean, we paid for a hotel one night because we had a layover, but we used credit card points to book the flights down there, and then we got to stay in that place for a while. So all we had to do was spend money on food and a couple little accommodation things. It's pretty nice. But this thing that this Mauna Loa that's going off is supposedly like the biggest active volcano in the world. And apparently it goes off like pretty frequently. I guess it's gone off like every 2.5 years up till 1985. And since then it's like taken a pretty, a more casual approach to blowing off its steam.
Now, I wonder if it means that it'll be a larger eruption. I wonder if this is like you held it for a while because you weren't sure if it was going to come out as gas or liquid. And then like now you're pretty sure and like here we go.
Fifth grade me totally understands.
27 minute ago me totally understands.
So I was talking to my wife about this morning, and she was, you know, I was telling her about the, not about me pooping my pants, although yesterday that almost happened, talking to me about the volcano, and I was like, yeah, you know, what's crazy about this volcano is how different the risks of a volcano like Mauna Loa are compared to something like Mount Rainier in Seattle. And, or not in Seattle, but you know, you get it, in the Pacific Northwest in Washington State. And the difference is like this volcano, Mauna Loa, and a lot of the volcanoes in Hawaii, and even some of the volcanoes in like Iceland and Norway and all that, they go off pretty frequently, where when they do, you don't have to, even if it's only erupted a couple of times since 1985, that's still usually enough to relieve enough pressure off of the volcano so that the next eruption isn't catastrophic and doesn't destroy the big island. You know what I mean? Whereas Mount Rainier, which has been dormant for hundreds of years at this point, when that goes off, I'm like, oh, it's crazy that in Mauna Loa they're talking about the lava and like how they might have to evacuate because of the lava flow coming out of it, where I'm like, when Mount Rainier goes off, you don't have to worry about the lava. You have to worry about gigantic rivers of trees and rocks flowing through Enumclaw in these pyroclastic flows, destroying everything.
See you later,
and my brother who lives in Enumclaw. But like, yeah, you have to start worrying about all of these, like,
wait, weed brother or teacher brother?
Actually both brothers.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they both live in Enumclaw. Nice. Yeah.
Okay, anyway, sorry.
They could form one brother, weed teacher brother. That's crazy, because over Thanksgiving, my weed brother did teach me some stuff about weed. apparently, how when you inhale THC versus when you eat THC, how it is
metabolized
in your body. Like when you eat it, it's metabolized in your liver, so it creates different types of response and can sometimes have more of a hallucinogenic response versus when you inhale it via smoking or something like that. I thought it was pretty crazy. I didn't know. Weed teacher brother.
Thanks, weed teacher brother, for all the hard work.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just crazy that this Mauna Loa one is going off and everybody's like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, I'll move out of my house for a couple weeks in case the lava burns it down. Whereas, like, if Mount Rainier ever goes off, like, I live 400 miles away from it, or less than that, but I live hundreds of miles away from it and am still going to be terrified.
Yeah, it's still going to ruin everyone's day when it goes off. Yeah. That's going to be like a big, big problem eventually. I recommend following epiclava_ on Instagram because homeboy just posts a ton of cool lava content from Hawaii, including Mauna Loa happening today. So I am
epiclava_?
Yeah.
Oh, he's verified on Instagram?
Yeah, right?
Dang.
Now, my big question for the... the dark part of my brain goes into is, how much does it cost to bribe a helicopter pilot into flying over it? Because I want to see that from like an unsafe position. I want to be right there. And then like, if things go wrong, like, oh well, like, you know, if lava jumps up and pulls the, you know, cause that's how lava works, jumps up and pulls the helicopter into the, you know, into the crater, into the caldera, then whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be worth it because holy crap, that was crazy.
You're
especially
like,
if it's
dream come true, first of all.
Yeah, exactly. Cause for anyone that's been following me long enough, my dream is once I die is to have my full body thrown into a volcano.
Yeah.
I'm moving towards accepting if my ashes could be done because I'll be dead and it won't matter.
Yeah.
But if you want integrity, you jerks, then you throw my whole body in there. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the plan. So, it's, I don't know. I asked one of my buddies that used to live there how much he thinks it would cost to bribe a helicopter pilot. He said $4,000. And I was like,
That seems reasonable.
I wonder if
when you're on a helicopter, I don't know if the reason, if this is why, but like when Chernobyl happened, right? Like helicopters that would fly over the disaster site would wreck. Like, just they would fly over and then they would crash. And it had something to do with the radiation. But like, part of me thinks that if you were flying over active lava or like an active volcano, like the heat that is rising off of it would make that somewhat impossible, or like just the amount of energy that's coming off of the lava, or just like the flow of the magma. Also, is it magma or is it lava?
We'll have to get a volcanologist on here to clarify that, aka Google. I started to Google, can you fly a helicopter? And boy, some of the things that it asks are pretty awesome. Like
drunk?
At night, during an earthquake.
I imagine during an earthquake should be fine, right? Like if you're like the earth is shaking, but I famously in a helicopter, you're not on the earth.
Wow. Mauna Loa helicopter tours are completely private if you desire. At your choice, you can fly with up to two or three other passengers with or without doors.
What?
Window seats are always guaranteed at no additional cost. I don't know if that's during eruption, but that seems like...
During erection?
I mean, oh my God, I've got such a huge boner. They're like, we are not flying over. Land this thing right now.
Scientists use the term magma for molten rock that is underground and lava for molten rock that breaks through the Earth's surface.
Yeah, so it's like a pimple versus face. Got it.
Famously, the term that is used for the stuff that comes out of your pimple.
Speaking of which, global declining sperm counts could threaten humankind's survival, says a story at weather.com.
Classic weather.
Partly cloudy with a chance of skeet, skeet, skeet. Wait, did you mean sleet? I said what I said.
You bring this up to your neighbor and you're like, have you heard about the sperm lately? And they'd be like, what? Dude, hey, I'm just trying to talk about the weather, man.
Like, hey, why are you getting so offended? Like, put it away. Anyway, I want to know who at weather.com went around collecting samples for that research. Hi, I'm from weather.com. I'm going to need you to fill this cup to this line.
Is it raining? Yeah, it's not rain.
In my lifetime alone, the sperm count in more than 50 countries that's been studied has decreased by almost half. So that's, I mean, I feel like we were, at least I was warned as a, could you stop that, please?
Oh, sorry.
I feel like I was warned as a kid to stop smoking weed and not use the hot tub if I wanted to not affect the sperm count. Or probably when I was a kid, oppositely, to be like, then you can bang without protection. Yeah.
Now, so you're telling me all I have to do is smoke weed and I can't have kids?
I want to know if either of those things is even remotely true, if weed affects sperm count and if hot tub. I bet you hot tubs does, because that messes up your nuts. But
yeah.
They weather.com says that when they actually went in to figure out what's causing it, they don't know, but it accelerated in the current millennium even more significantly. And I'm like, well, you know what else? Dirty movies and access to them on the internet blew up around then.
Yeah.
I'm told.
Yeah, just like they should, maybe they, did they tell their test weatherman to like not jerk it for a couple weeks and then test the sperm count? Also, like, I just read a thing that, like, in the last...
Ready for some weather, baby? That's my new dirty talk.
That's actually dirty talk I could feel comfortable with. It's like, oh, it's crazy. It snowed out a lot today.
Mauna Loa's
about
to erupt on you. Yeah, science dirty talk. That's where we're at.
Yeah. Not even science, just weather dirty talk. Meteorology weather, dirty talk.
Like the weakest science.
tell that to Steve Poole. Pools. Are pools bad for your sperm count? No, I feel like I read a thing recently that it's like the population, the global population in like 1920 was like 2 billion people. Mm. And we just passed, what, 8 billion people on the planet? People. It's like we've quadrupled the population size.
Look at that math.
100 years, right? Like, that's insane. That's an absolutely insane amount of growth. And the fact that we've somehow, I mean, not to say that we've sustainably done it, but like, people, you would say that we're living in the a time where people are more benefited from technology and all the things like that now than 100 years ago when there was less people. But maybe there's more people now, so there's more people to do the services for the other people. I don't know exactly, like, not to say it's sustainable, but like the fact that we've been able to quadruple our population.
Yeah.
Usually the thing that controls population growth is access to resources. We've obviously already determined that there are not enough resources for this many people to be sustainable on Earth, which is why we're now growing cocaine tobacco. But it's just absolutely crazy because it seems like procreation is not an issue right now.
So the what's the big worry is that the collapse of the economy, because the economy is literally the people who do the work. It's not like some spreadsheet or data or something like that. It's actually the people who do the things. And so the collapse of that from the lack of people, like, you might lose cultures like Japan and stuff, for the population's in decline. Like, who's going to take those jobs? Robots, obviously. And then you make them fight each other to see which robots get to survive. It's going to be awesome. I read a book called The Rational Optimist some years ago, and it talks about how easy it is to fearmonger on things without actually having like a step aside approach. And they predicted that in this book, statistically speaking, the world is actually expected to get to like 8.5 billion before it stabilizes and starts coming back down. Because A, we can't support more than that, and B, there's no first world nation whose birth rate is higher today than it was 30 years ago or something like that. You have to go back and find the facts about it or whatever. But again, The Rational Optimist by Matt Ridley, that there's just not, that we're not increasing at the rate that you need to sustain increase, and that we're about to peak and start coming back down. And so I'm sure someone will find a way to take advantage of us financially when it comes to that. But also it's...
Somehow birth rates, right, even in the United States have gone down over the last few decades. And you think we had the baby boom, but with cultural changes, with financial changes, with the fact that you don't have to have kids to work the farm anymore or to sustain you
robots
in your old age. I mean, realistically, it's I was hearing somebody say honestly, the reason you have kids is so that you can grow old and there's people to take care of you when you can't take care of yourself anymore. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to need a couple more kids if that's the case. But that's not necessary as much anymore when we're in a society where technology can supposedly solve everything. When I'm going to be old and I'm like, I need my diaper changed, come here, Robo Rogan, and he's going to come over.
Have some hot takes while he's doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Brandon, I'm at a time crunch here. I only have a few more minutes, but I want to get to this. One more story. It's two stories in one. I think we can do it.
Let's do it.
So I read a lot about lab-grown meat saving the planet and cows and stuff, but how close are we actually putting a steak into a stainless steel pan for a nice sear, you know?
Yeah.
From Reuters.com, lab-grown meat cleared for human consumption by U.S. regulators. Why they would give lab meat the go-ahead to consume humans, I don't know, but I don't think... Never thought this is how the uprising would go, but it's obviously just a badly written headline. What's really going on is the FDA has cleared Upside Foods to create meat products by using stem cells that are then reproduced in metal tanks and formed into nuggets and other stuff. Should they get full approval, we could be eating real/fake/synthetic meat in just a matter of years. I just hope that they have figured out how to engineer out the weird knuckly parts that make you want to insta-barf when you're eating some meat.
Just the tendon-y, nastiness.
If I bite into that, it's over. That meal's over for me. And I might not eat that meal for months afterwards because I'm so repulsed by it, which is why we know that if it ever came down to it, I would never be able to sustain myself because I can't eat the knuckly parts, let alone 3-day-old meat that you're like, well, this is all we have.
I had a friend recently tell me about how he was up in Alaska, and this whole part of the story was an aside to the thing he was telling me. He was like, yeah, but some friends called me and they said that they had shot a moose and they needed me to come up and help them out with it. And I was like, oh, help them out by carrying it. And he was like, no, I they had never skinned an animal before. So I just went up there and I started skinning it. And we were just chatting and I was like, oh my gosh, I am such a wimp. I've never even this doesn't make me a wimp, but I've never even shot an animal, let alone thought about how to carve it up and skin it. I guess growing your dead moose from scratch is probably better. I think I'm against this. Because for me, meat life begins at stem cell conception.
Get out of here. You are not okay. I'm not having that discussion right now. On to the second part of the story. Time.com got to sample a tasty steak without the moo in there. They teamed up with this Israeli company that's doing this. It's not FDA approved or anything. And even that last company, if they have the approval to try and make the stuff, they don't have the approval to sell it yet. So no one's giving the thumbs up except for Singapore lets one company do it there. But in Israel, they figured out not just how to make nuggets and stuff, but how to give it textures that you need and to get the fats in it to make it actually taste like a real steak. Because that's the problem. You can grow a bunch of the same steak cells, but how do you assemble it so that way it actually resembles steaks.
Yeah.
The food that you're trying to get. So they point out that the global livestock industry is responsible for, like, when it comes to man-made greenhouse emissions, nearly as much as road transportation, aviation, and shipping combined just to make meat, which is...
Chickens. Just to make the chicken part of the meat.
Yeah. Well, livestock, so, like...
Okay, yeah.
So, like, but whatever. It doesn't matter. That's
either
crazy.
Way, that's a ton, yeah.
So what they've done is they've taken stem cells and coaxed them into different meat components in something called a bioreactor. I referred to it as a metal vat a few minutes ago, or tank or something like that. But it's a bioreactor, which makes it sound like it's definitely going to turn into Godzilla and kill us at some point, right? But also, how cool to give it such a badass name.
Just a giant piece of ham destroying our cities.
But they can take these different parts that they've made of the bioreactor and combine them somehow. They can coax them into forming into meat products, now including steak. The author described it, and he was like, there's a couple different things, and what he had was almost like briskety, like the way that it's like fibrous, only not dry like it. He said the flavor is pure meat, a caramelized crust giving way to a savory richness. The square shape and thin cut betray my steak's bioreactor origins, but eyes closed, I wouldn't know the difference.
Wow.
It doesn't taste like the future, as promised. It tastes like steak, only without the guilt. And I don't care about Brandon's religious stance on this, about when the meat starts and when it doesn't. I am all in on trying this, man.
Yeah.
My big concern is that, like, my wife is vegan, and so the not meat market right now is huge because people are trying to make these synthetics that we can try and get us off of meats to help save the planet a little bit. But for vegans, it's amazing because there's tons of options. Does that industry take a big hit because the grow it in a vat industry becomes more prevalent?
I mean, if the global livestock industry is so large that it's able to account for 14% of all man-made greenhouse gas emissions, I would say that there's so much money in it that this meat never sees the market, or if it does, it never gets that big of a market share, because this is the what would you say, the rational optimist? This is the rational pessimist part of me that says, like, the people who make the money from that industry are never going to allow the FDA to approve something like this to be sold for human consumption.
So in my mind, it happens similar. The rational optimist part of me thinks that, much like the solar and the green energy sector couldn't take off until the energy controlling powers got on board to do it. They want their cut of this industry, and so now they're accelerating it forward so they can still control they can still have the power. Because this is such a basic example, but I think about it all the time. In StarCraft, the goal is you need to get resources, and whoever gets the best resources the fastest ultimately has the power, because you can build.
If all of these companies already have all of this money from the work that they're doing, like, then they probably are going to be the best positioned to invest into this. I see what you're saying. The problem with me is, like, the way that you describe the way the meat is grown is I just picture a bunch of, like, little meat worms, like, crawling themselves towards each other and forming a steak. Like,
coaxing doesn't help. I get it. Yeah.
I don't like to think about, like, right now, I'm not a vegetarian. I read a book called Eating Animals by the same guy who wrote Everything is Illuminated. His name's Jonathan Safran Foer. It's why he became a vegetarian, right? And I read the whole book and I was like, that's nice and I totally understand it, but, like, I'm still going to eat it. I'm going to still eat meat because I like it, right? But if I'm in the process of eating a animal product, and I think about the fact that this animal was a cute little lamb once before I started to eat it in my Euro, it, like, kind of ruins it for me. But, like, I already am pretty good at disassociating the process of how my food is made with me eating it. So I think I'll be okay.
We just covered that with the moose, where you're like, what?
I think I'll be okay disassociating my little meat worms crawling toward each other when I'm eating my lab-grown steak.
I'm such a wuss, dude. Sometimes I'm like eating vegetables and I'm like, what right do I have to just go and like kill this plant for my own sustenance? And I'm like, because that plant was living. Just because it's not sentient doesn't mean it's not part of the ecosystem.
I was just thinking about that as I put my Christmas tree up last night in my living room.
Yeah, we're not. It's weird because we can't have a fresh Christmas tree because one of our cats just eats it. And it's like, I mean, maybe it'd kill him and good riddance or whatever.
There's cocaine in these needles.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of another very heady show, Brandon. After all, we are really focused on bringing high-caliber content, so I want to know what it is that we learned this week. What'd you learn this week?
I learned that the best way for me to dirty talk is going to be talking about the weather.
Weather dirty talk with Brandon, yeah. Everybody.
That's my next podcast.
How about, you got anything else?
I'm really glad that Robo Joe Rogan Bogan will live on as a robot.
I just came to a conclusion about something. I learned this week, Brandon, that when we're arguing about whether or not we're going to have synthetic bioreactor meat or cow meat or whatever, we miss the obvious solution.
What's that?
We need a robot cow so we can eat robot meat.
I can't wait to eat Robo Joe Rogan Robin. I can't wait to eat Robo Joe Rogan's robot meat.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. We're streaming for the Odyssey app. We appreciate having you along, and it's available from your podcast provider, perhaps the Odyssey app, after that sometime, usually when I stop being too lazy to post it. But anyway, every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m., join us. Thank you, Brandon. Welcome back.
You're going to have to fight me for my robo meat.
I just imagine like a Terminator style, like it's a cow, you know, a cow tissue over endoskeleton or whatever. And it's like,
every time you bite, it like replicates the spot that you just chewed out of. Yeah.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision, overthinking, second-guessing every choice you make. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions. I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's two stories in one. I think we can do it.
Let's do it.
So I read a lot about lab-grown meat saving the planet and cows and stuff, but like, how close are we actually getting putting like a steak into a stainless steel pan for a nice sear, you know?
Yeah.
From Reuters.com, lab-grown meat cleared for human consumption by U.S. regulators. Why they would give lab meat the go-ahead to consume humans, I don't know, but I don't think... Never thought this is how the uprising would go, but it's obviously just a badly written headline. What's really going on is the FDA has cleared Upside Foods to create meat products by using stem cells that are then reproduced in like metal tanks and formed into nuggets and other stuff. Should they get full approval, we could be eating real / fake / synthetic meat in just a matter of years. I just hope that they have figured out how to engineer out the weird knuckly parts that make you want to insta-barf when you're, like, eating some meat.
Just and the tendony, like, nastiness.
Yeah, is it, like, if I bite into that, it's over. That meal's over for me. And I might not eat that meal for months afterwards because I'm so repulsed by it, which is why we know that if it ever came down to it, I would never be able to sustain myself because I can't eat the knuckly parts, let alone three-day-old meat that you're like, well, this is all we have.
So. I had a friend recently tell me about how he was up in Alaska, and like this whole part of the story was an aside to the thing he was telling me. He was like, yeah, but some friends called me and they said that they had shot a moose and they needed me to come up and help them out with it. And I was like, oh, help them out by carrying it. And he was like, no, they had never skinned an animal before. So I just went up there and I started skinning it. And we were just chatting and I was like, oh my gosh, I am such a wimp. I've never even like... I mean, I this doesn't make me a whip, but like I've never even shot an animal, let alone like thought about how to carve it up and skin it. I guess like growing your dead moose from scratch is probably better. Also, I think I'm against this because for me, meat life begins at stem cell conception.
Get out of here. You are not okay. I'm not having that discussion right now. On to the second part of the story. Time.com got to sample a tasty steak without the moo in there. They teamed up with this Israeli company that's doing this. It's not FDA approved or anything. And even that last company, if they have the approval to try and make the stuff, they don't have the approval to sell it yet. So no one's like giving the thumbs up except for Singapore lets one company do it there. But in Israel, they're figured out not just how to make like nuggets and stuff, but how to give it textures that you need and to get the fats in it to make it actually taste like a real steak. Because that's the problem. You can grow a bunch of the same steak cells, but how do you assemble it so that way it actually resembles steaks,
yeah,
the food that you're trying to get. So they point out that the global livestock industry is responsible for, like, when it comes to man-made greenhouse emissions, nearly as much as road transportation, aviation, and shipping combined just to make meat, which is...
Chickens. Just to make the chicken part of the meat.
Yeah. Well, livestock, so, like...
Oh, like, I thought... Okay, yeah.
So, like... But whatever, it doesn't matter. That's
crazy.
Either
way, that's a ton, yeah.
So what they've done is they've taken stem cells and coaxed them into different meat components in something called a bioreactor. I referred to it as a metal vat a few minutes ago, or tank or something like that. But it's a bioreactor, which makes it sound like it's definitely going to turn into Godzilla and kill us at some point, right? But also, how cool to give it such a badass name.
Just a giant piece of ham destroying our cities.
But they can take these different parts that they've made of the bioreactor and combine them somehow. They can coax them into forming into meat products, now including steak. The author described it and he was like, there's a couple different things, and what he had was almost like briskety, like the way that it's like fibrous, only not dry like it. He said the flavor is pure meat, a caramelized crust giving way to a savory richness. The square shape and thin cut betray my steak's bioreactor origins, but eyes closed, I wouldn't know the difference.
Wow.
It doesn't taste like the future, as promised. It tastes like steak. only without the guilt. And I don't care about Brandon's religious stance on this, about where the, when the meat starts and when it doesn't. I am all in on trying this, man.
Yeah.
My big concern is that, like, my wife is vegan, and so the not meat market right now is huge because people are trying to make these synthetics that we can try and get us off of meats to help save the planet a little bit. But for vegans, it's amazing because there's tons of options. Does that industry take a big hit because the grow it in a vat industry becomes more prevalent?
I mean, if the global livestock industry is so large that it's able to account for 14% of all man-made greenhouse gas emissions, I would say that there's so much money in it that this meat never sees the market, or if it does, it never gets that big of a market share, because this is the what would you say, the rational optimist? This is the rational pessimist part of me that says, like, the people who make the money from that industry are never going to allow the FDA to approve something like this to be sold for human consumption.
So in my mind, it happens similar. The rational optimist part of me thinks that, much like the solar and the green energy sector couldn't take off until the energy controlling powers got on board to do it. They want their cut of this industry, and so now they're accelerating it forward so they can still control they can still have the power. Because this is such a basic example, but I think about it all the time. In StarCraft, the goal is you need to get resources, and whoever gets the best resources the fastest ultimately has the power, because you can build.
If all of these companies already have all of this money from the work that they're doing, like, then they probably are going to be the best positioned to invest into this. I see what you're saying. The problem with me is, like, the way that you describe the way the meat is grown is I just picture a bunch of, like, little meat worms, like, crawling themselves towards Gross. Each other and forming a steak. Like,
Doesn't help. I get it. Yeah.
I don't like to think about, like, right now, I'm not a vegetarian. I read a book called Eating Animals by the same guy who wrote Everything is Illuminated. His name's Jonathan Safran Foer. It's why he became a vegetarian, right? And I read the whole book and I was like, that's nice and I totally understand it, but, like, I'm still going to eat it. I'm going to still eat meat because I like it, right? But if I'm in the process of eating a animal product, and I think about the fact that this animal was a cute little lamb once before I started to eat it in my Euro, it, like, kind of ruins it for me. But, like, I already am pretty good at disassociating the process of how my food is made with me eating it. So I think I'll be okay.
We just covered that with the moose, where you're like, ugh, what?
I think I'll be okay disassociating my little meat worms crawling toward each other when I'm eating my lab-grown steak.
I'm such a wuss, dude. Sometimes I'm, like, eating vegetables and I'm like, what right do I have to just go and, like, kill this plant for my own sustenance? And I'm like, because that plant was living. Just because it's not sentient doesn't mean it's not part of the ecosystem.
I was just thinking about that as I put my Christmas tree up last night in my living room.
Yeah, we're not. It's weird because we can't have a fresh Christmas tree because one of our cats just eats it. And it's like, maybe it'd kill him and good riddance or whatever.
There's cocaine in these needles.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of another very heady show, Brandon. After all, we are really focused on bringing high-caliber content, so I want to know what it is that we learned this week. What'd you learn this week?
I learned that the best way for me to dirty talk is going to be talking about the weather.
Weather dirty talk with Brandon, everybody.
That's my next podcast.
How about, you got anything else?
I'm really glad that Robo Joe Rogan Bogan will live on as a robot.
I just came to a conclusion about something. I learned this week, Brandon, that when we're arguing about whether or not we're going to have synthetic bioreactor meat or cow meat or whatever, we miss the obvious solution.
What's that?
We need a robot cow so we can eat robot meat.
I can't wait to eat Robo Joe Rogan Robin. I can't wait to eat Robo Joe Rogan's robot meat.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Thanks for joining us for Nerd Talk Plus every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. We're streaming for the Odyssey app. We appreciate having you along, and it's available from your podcast provider, perhaps the Odyssey app, after that sometime, usually when I stop being too lazy to post it. But anyway, every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m., join us. Thank you, Brandon. Welcome back.
You're going to have to fight me for my robo meat.
I just imagine like a Terminator style, like it's a cow, you know, a cow tissue over endoskeleton or whatever. And it's like,
every time you bite, it like replicates the spot that you just chewed out of. Yeah.